My name is Michael Gorman, and I farmed in Chaseburg, Wisconsin with the Organic Valley crew. Over the years, the last 35 years, Organic Valley's established an intentional community called Organic Valley Family of Farms, and grown from 3 farms on Wire Hollow Road to over 800 farms nationally in the co-op. I was part of that farming community for 31 years, and I retired about 2.5 years ago to start off on my own effort to tell the stories of the farmers and farm families that I worked with, and to make an attempt to connect with communities and actually farm inside the city limits of small municipalities, mostly over the last 2.5 years. I grew up in Dubuque, Iowa, on the river, Mississippi River, and grew up in a Catholic community of 60,000 people and did all the conventional things, like play sports and had some success academically. I had a good friend from third grade, Roger Birch, who is the produce manager over at the food co-op here in La Crosse, People's Food Co-op, and he's the one that brought me back to the land. He and 2 other families were the 3 folks who decided to grow an intentional community of organic farming and moved to Wire Hollow Road back in the mid-70s to 78 in there, and started farming organically, all 3 of them, and to this day they're all still very involved on that corner, but have also been fortunate enough to grow an organic community that now is one of the larger organic producers of foodstuffs in the nation. When I opened the farm at 377 West 3rd Street in Winona and began to plant the plants, about 500 to 700 plants, from tomatoes to squash to watermelons and the like, and then opened it up as a farmer's market and flea market and began selling, I received 18 police stops or contacts at 377 West 3rd between May 15th and June 18th. And they escalated to the point that on June 18th, 2006, 9 police officers with a dog and 4 squad cars surrounded me at my farm in downtown Winona while I was showing the plants to an 80-year-old woman named Sylvia, and we were discussing at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening how beautiful the farm was coming along. They simply said, "We're going to take you in," and I put my hands out to be handcuffed, and the officer said, "No, we're not taking you to jail. You can put your hands down. We're taking you over to the hospital for a 72-hour stay for observation." A number of people have been calling our police station saying that you're acting strangely. For 45 minutes we talked. I showed them the plants and around the farm. They decided over that 45 minutes that I was coherent and okay, and that they weren't going to take me to the hospital that night, being that I had a card in my pocket that showed that I had an appointment with my counselor at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. I made that appointment at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, and at 10 o'clock I packed up my goods and moved out of Winona, Minnesota for my own well-being and health. In the last 20 years, I have been confined on numerous occasions, both in mental institutions and in incarceration to stop the behavior, and I've not been able to. They call it in the mental health community and in the confinement community an authority disorder. More than that, I couldn't describe it. It's hard for me to exactly say what I am. Initially, they tried to confer upon me bipolar, and that didn't stick. I don't have those mental health issues, but I do have a great deal of difficulty with conventional authority. Have great respect for law enforcement, have no respect for policing, have no respect for brutalization, and that's all that's going on, in my opinion, in small communities along this river today. A black man, a Hispanic man, woman, child gets treated differently than a white person. If my skin color or my nationality was different than white, Caucasian, I don't believe I'd be alive today with the beatings that I've taken inside of conventional policing and mental health institutions, again, along this river. I've seen things that a lot of folks wouldn't believe in regards to violence inside institutions. But for me, it's been a challenge to learn, For instance, when I was incarcerated in the state penitentiary in Wisconsin for felony battery of a police officer at the scene of a pedestrian automobile accident in which I was a pedestrian, the judge locked me up for 18 months to try and involuntarily medicate me. During that 18 months, my counselor at the institution asked me to write parole eligibility plans for inmates that were being held longer than they were supposed to be. During that 18 months, I wrote 116 eligibility parole plans for inmates that were, again, behind eligibility parole. So I try, when I'm locked up or confined or loss of liberty, I call it, I try and find places where I can be a benefit to the community that I'm within. The funniest thing that happens to me in confinement is when they find out that I don't have insurance at state mental health institutions or at private sector hospitals, they always let me out after 72 hours because I can't pay. So I'm only usually in for 72 hours of observation. I can't say that it's pleasant, but it's not unpleasant, because I've learned to put myself in a confinement situation and allow myself to live within that confinement, knowing that the potential for myself to be free once again is pretty good, and that I can go back to my standard work. The one thing that does scare me is that police officers today are more violent and more willing to offer me physical violence at the scene of an incident. They usually offer, you know, Mike, we're going to beat the shit out of you and lock you up first. And they label me a troublemaker. That's the first thing that they like to call me. You're a troublemaker, Mike, and we're here to move you along, move you out of town. I have no interest in violating their physical space or their mental well-being. I simply have been able to, in my last years, be more passive about my offerings when I'm offered violence. It's a hard thing, but it's been a good learning experience.